What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Closing the Deal. I am your host, Sam Enright, and sitting across from me is my co-host, Zach Dixon. Zach, what's going on today, brother?
Not a whole lot, man. Just a another beautiful Saturday here in Ohio.
Love it. Love it. Anything big happen here in Central Ohio here lately?
The whole state of Ohio. About 5 days ago, we brought home that natty, bud. The national championship in college football feels great. It's been almost a decade. Well, actually, it has been a decade since the last one. We were seniors in high school when the last one happened. So crazy how fast time is flying, or how it's flown. But obviously, we've had a lot of opportunities in that 10 years too, and haven't gotten the chance to get it done. So this one feels good, especially after the tough Michigan loss at the end of November. That was a tough one.
Yeah, for sure. It was a good game to watch. Good run, honestly, all in all. So obviously very very happy to be some natty champions. It was fun. I know we were on the roasting them bandwagon there after the Michigan loss. So, well, you guys heard me say on a previous episode that I did kind of anticipate that loss happening. Just seemed a little too cocky, seemed a little too written in stone for us to, you know, punch below our weight class and end up falling short. So, but glad we were able to rebound and get it done, and happy for those guys that are seniors that decided to come back. I mean, I know that's what this ultimate goal of coming back was for. So it's nice to see for them, you know, foregoing the NFL and actually accomplishing what it is that they set out to accomplish. So,
no doubt. And it's nice to just see the resiliency as well. I know you mentioned a little bit how we were getting on our head coach a little bit after that Michigan game. And it was not just us. It felt like the entirety of the state of Ohio was was getting on top of our head coach, piling onto him. So just to see them guys get off of the mat after such a, you know, tough loss and just a little bit of adversity, just get off the mat and brush yourselves off. It would be so easy. It would have been so easy to just give up and lay down and call it a day at that point. And just to see them get up off the mat was an inspiring story, to be honest with you.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, for any of you that know me, you know, I am I'm a sucker for personal development, all that sort of stuff. And so, I mean, that was definitely a message that every single game you listen to him afterwards, he would talk about is the adversity and, you know, teaching those guys, this is how we respond to adversity. This is what you do. You have an opportunity to come back and get back up. And so definitely nice to see, and a good, good heartwarming story. Always like to see, you know, somebody fight back from the lows. And honestly, 4 years, you know, 4 years in a row losing to Michigan, and not only just that, but, you know, probably the worst Michigan team in these 4 years to lose to them. And then probably the most talented Ohio State team in that 4 year window as well. You know, all those guys have played so much football for us, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So good to see him bounce back. So definitely excited. And you touched on something in there that didn't really want to be reminded of, but it's really hard to believe that we are 10 years removed from graduating high school at this point. I just turned 28 about a month ago. So slowly encroaching on 30 is a little bit mind boggling to me, to be honest with you.
It really, in time just flies. It's crazy. The days are slow, but the weeks are fast. The months are fast. The years are fast. And everybody just keeps telling me that it only gets worse as we get older too. So I'll be intrigued to see how the next 10 years go, how the next 20 years go. Obviously, hopefully they slow down just a little bit.
Yeah, I'd venture to say probably just probably faster than what they've already gone, or at least the same pace. So I just keep thinking the same thing myself, and every time I turn a corner, and, you know, life seems to, you know, be speeding up. You got more stuff you want to do, more things you want to accomplish, and so yeah.
Just a good reminder to slow down. Yeah, just a good reminder to step back, take a day at a time, and smell the roses every day. So,
absolutely, absolutely. Well, what do we have on tap for you guys today, guys? We wanted to talk with you about home inspections versus appraisals. This is something that you have heard a little bit about in our prior episodes and just us talking about what a, you know, a home inspection and ordering one of those as well as an appraisal. So today we're going to break down a little bit for you guys, what is the difference? Because that is a common question that we get, especially when somebody who is new to the process is going through it, and we say, hey, you know, you talk with your real estate agent, hey, you're going to have to pay for this home inspection. Then you talk to your lender, you're like, hey, you're going to have to pay for this appraisal. You know, a lot of people are like, why do I have to pay for both? What's the difference? So we're going to jump into that for you guys today. So Zach, do you want to, because, you know, obviously real estate agents most typically deal with the home inspection side of things. You want to, you know, give them a rundown of what a home inspection is and what they can expect when you order that sort of report.
Yeah, definitely. So a home inspection is going to be performed by a licensed home inspector in your state. Usually this is going to occur, about 7 to 10 days after you go into contract. So once you go into contract, there's probably going to be a 7-day inspection window. And then after that, you're going to probably have a 3 to 5 day request a remedy period. But the goal of the home inspection is to basically uncover any underlying issues there are with the property. So the home inspection, you can add on a lot of different features to the home inspection, to the standard home inspection. You can have things like water and sewer lines checked out. You can have termite damage checked out. You can have radon gas testings checked out. So all of those things are things that you can choose as a buyer to add on to your normal residential property inspection. So just the normal residential property inspection is going to check out all of the bones of the property. Going to be checking out the roof, going to be checking out plumbing, going to be checking out the high ticket items like HVAC and hot water tank to see if there are any underlying issues that may not be able to be seen by the naked eye when you're doing your walkthrough. So once you get that report back, it's going to have so much information on all of these high ticket items and just on the bones of the property as a whole. It's going to give you things that are needed to be fixed right away, things that you can plan on being fixed, you know, in the next couple of years, and things that need to be taken care of for preventative maintenance items that could prevent larger purchases down the road. So once you get all of that information back from the home inspector, basically you're able to go back to the seller and request the things that you want to have fixed, the things that matter most to you to be fixed. You can request those to be fixed by the seller, or request a credit at closing, or request a purchase price deduction in lieu of those repairs as well. So once you get that information back, there is just a lot of different avenues that you can take based on the inspection. Obviously, everything we've kind of touched on it a little bit in previous episodes, but everything's a negotiation. So once you get that information in your hand, you are probably in a pretty good spot of negotiating power. And so at that point, you can go back to the seller and the listing agent and have those items that pop up on that inspection report fixed. It's obviously important to have one of these completed to ensure that you're buying a property with good bones. You're not going to have to put, you know, 10% of the purchase price into the home, you know, 5 months, 6 months after moving in into these big ticket items. It's just a, you know, peace of mind kind of information to make sure that as a buyer, you're protected on this property that you're purchasing, you know, not just right now, but maybe, you know, 6 months, 12 months, 2 years down the road. So it's important to have one, even if you're maybe not necessarily going to go back to the sellers and request anything to be fixed. It's just important information to have, you know, in your hands and to be able to make informed decisions. And so the basic residential property disclosure is probably going to run you a few hundred dollars, usually about $300 to $500, depending on the company. And then depending on the add-ons, you know, anywhere from $100 to $200 per add-on. So it's really up to you as a buyer. As a real estate agent with my clients, when they're scheduling home inspections, I go through all of the options with them and let them make the decisions based on what they are looking for as a home buyer. So, like I said, could be, you know, $400 to almost $1,000, just depending on what you're looking to have done there.
Awesome. That's great information. And obviously, you know, the part about, you know, why it's important to get one, obviously we want to hammer that home. You know, especially as a first time home buyer, you know, so many clients come to us and the, you know, they have just enough funds for down payment or just enough funds to get them in the house. And if you are going to buy a house and not get a home inspection, and there could be, you know, some things lying around the corner that could cost you money, like Zach said, in 3, 4, 5, 6 months, you would want to know about those things, because that could be, you know, potentially extremely detrimental for you if you have not built back up a savings or those sort of things, and you start to incur problems on the property that could have easily been found out through the home inspection. Like, hey, this is, you know, nearing the end of its life. You may want to look into getting this replaced, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So that's the importance. And that's why we stress that to clients. I know that's more of the real estate side of things, but, you know, anytime clients call and ask us like, hey, you know, I'm being told we should get a home inspection, you know, our, you know, suggestion is always going to be, hey, you should probably do that as well, just to make sure, like Zach said, you check out the bones of the home and make sure that there's nothing that you're walking into that could create, you know, massive problems for you such a short time after purchasing that property.
And obviously, as a homeowner, you're going to have maintenance. Like, that's a foregone conclusion. But like you mentioned, you don't want those large ticket items literally immediately right after closing. You probably just brought a good chunk of change to the closing table to buy your home. And so to have to purchase a $7,000 HVAC system 3 months after being in the property, that's just not ideal at all. And it can easily be avoided by just having that inspection. And inspections, it is a little bit of a confusion point. Inspections are not required by any stretch of the imagination. That is just something that the buyer can choose to do if they would like to. So as opposed to the appraisal, which is required, inspections are not required. So you can get as little of inspections as you'd like, or as much as inspection as you like, or literally nothing at all. So just a little bit of difference between the inspection and appraisal there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So Zach touched on that. The appraisal is not, if you're going with financing, the appraisal is not something that you can avoid. So what is the key differences here between an appraisal and a home inspection? So the home inspection is going to go so much more in depth on, like Zach said, the bones of the property. That is not what an appraisal is focused on. When you get an appraisal, the main key to that is going to be, what is the value of the property? When you entered into a purchase contract and you, let's say, agreed to buy a house for $200,000, one of the lender's main focuses is, if we are going to lend money out on this property, we want to make sure that it's worth the money that we are lending on it. So the appraisal is going to be to determine that value. Like I said, you know, they want to make sure that it's worth the money that you are agreeing to purchase it for. So when the appraisal is done, the appraiser is going to go out, he's going to take pictures of the subject property, he's going to review, you know, the different components of the house. Now, you know, again, there are some repairs that could come back on an appraisal. Those things typically are safety hazards. So, you know, the government loans are a little bit more strict appraisal wise than what conventional loans are. You'll hear that a lot in this business when people are talking about different offers and what loan type you're offering on. So with conventional and FHA, VA, USDA, you know, the government programs, they look at a little bit of some different things. So some common things you can see come back on an appraisal are GFCI outlets near water sources. You will see handrails on steps greater than 3 feet. Those sort of things. Anytime there's electrical wires, maybe in the basement, that are, you know, sprayed out and not, you know, put in one compact area, that could be potentially a fire hazard. So they will have you look into that. If they notice, you know, maybe previous roof damage from a leak, they'll, you know, require that, you know, to make sure that there's nothing structurally wrong with the property. So that's really more so the key of the appraisal, is to determine the value of the property and make sure that structurally speaking, there's nothing that jumps out, or safety hazard wise, there's nothing that jumps out and says, hey, you know, we need to get this checked out. This could be a problem for this property. So you're not going to see repairs, you know, like, I don't even know what a good indication of a repair, you know, what is something that somebody would request on a home inspection to have repaired?
A hot water tank. Honestly, I just had a client that is negotiating with a home seller right now to have a hot water tank repaired/replaced. So that's something that definitely wouldn't show up on an appraisal likely.
Yeah, I mean, unless there's like something when the appraiser goes out to look at the property that's glaringly saying this system is not operating correctly, get it a licensed, you know, inspector out here. And that's the other thing. An appraiser is never going to make that determination on his own. So he will look at these things. He'll look at a roof leak or a previous roof leak. He'll look at a hot water tank. He'll look at a furnace and say, something doesn't look right here. Have a professional inspector come out and determine what is going on with this system. So they are not licensed in those areas to say whether or not it is properly working or not properly working. All their job is to take notice of those things. And if anything genuinely jumps out to them, they will put it on their report. And most of the time the lender is going to require, hey, let's have an inspection done. Hey, let's make sure that these things are working properly. And again, it's not only just a protection for the lender, but it's also a protection for you, the consumer, ultimately. You know, kind of like how we talked about, you do not want to buy a house and incur $7,000, $10,000 worth of, you know, maintenance fees within the first 3 months of purchasing that property. And from the lender perspective, that makes you much more likely to default on that property if you were to run into that situation. So that's where their care comes from, is obviously they want to make sure that nothing's going to jump in the way of you making your payments each month, or you saying this house is no longer worth it. You know, we got a $30,000 foundation issue, you know, that sort of thing, because people do walk away from those properties, just like people walk away from a car that broke down 2 months after buying it. You know what I mean? So that's the bank's concern. They want to make sure that the home is worth what you're agreeing to pay for it. And they want to make sure the structure and those sort of qualities of the property are sound, and that, you know, anything that that jumps out to them could be avoided in the forefront. They don't want that popping up if it can be helped.
Definitely, definitely. So moving on, just to a couple of, we've touched on it a little bit already, but just some key differences between the two reports. Obviously, like we mentioned, the appraisal, number one, is going to be looking for a value of the property to ensure that the lender is correctly lending on the property. And the inspections obviously are looking for any underlying issues on the property. And so the timeline on each report is different as well. Obviously, we touched on the inspection a little bit. That's going to be, you know, right after you go into contract, pretty much one of the first things that you do to ensure that if there are any issues that are going to kill the deal, it's pretty early on and the seller can get it back on the market without much time lost. If we had the inspections, you know, 10 days prior to closing, that would be an obvious issue. If anything popped up and we were looking to end the deal, there's a lot of moving parts moving around the inspection and with financing and all of those things. So if we're waiting till 10 days prior to closing to get an inspection done, there's not much time for renegotiation. There's not much time to back out of the deal if needed. And there's going to be a lot of money lost on all parts as well, just with everything going on behind the scenes between title and financing and all of those things. So that's one of the reasons why we get that inspection report done pretty quickly, to get that out of the way, to make sure that there's going to be no hurdles on that side of things. What's the timeline look like for the appraisal, Sam?
Timeline relatively the same. It's very early, but most typically we will wait until at least that inspection period has passed. Most clients request to do that. And when you, or, you know, we'll ask them, hey, is this something you want to do? You know, like Zach said, you know, sometimes homes are going to come back and you're not going to like what comes back on that inspection report. It's going to be too much for you to be like, yeah, I'm comfortable purchasing this house. And so, you know, we don't want you to be on the hook for two reports, basically. So you're already going to have paid for the inspection report to find out that information. We don't want you to have paid for an appraisal to then, you know, walk away from the house because the inspection doesn't meet what you're looking for. So we will order it relatively early. I would say usually it's within a week of going into contract, you know, kind of as soon as that inspection period's over. You know, if you let us know, hey, Sam, you know, we got the inspection report back, all good, you know, all very minor stuff, we're not concerned with it, go ahead and move forward with the appraisal. At that point, you know, we'll collect payment and go ahead and order the appraisal report. Typically, in most cases, those are coming back within 7 days. So, you know, if we ordered it on a Monday, usually it's back on by that next Monday. So yeah, it's a relatively fast process in order to get that appraisal. And that's another thing, you know, just like how Zach said, you want to get it done early because of, you know, avoiding those issues. Well, we want to get the appraisal done early to make sure that if the value does come in lower, you have time to renegotiate with the seller and decide where you guys are going to go from there. Or if there are repairs that come back, if it comes back subject to, you know, we want to give ample amount of time to make sure the repairs can be done, because after the repairs are complete from the appraisal perspective, you have to send the appraiser back out to verify all of that work was completed in a workmanlike manner. So there's a lot of moving pieces there. So the earlier that we can get the appraisal done, the better off we're going to be for meeting closing dates and those sort of things, and not delaying the process for you guys. So I would say typically ordered within 7 days of the contract.
And I did have just one additional question on the appraisal for our listeners. What does happen if that comes in lower than the agreed on purchase price? What are the options of the buyer at that point?
So the buyer has several options, and we've seen it a couple of different ways. So sometimes a couple of years back when things were a little bit different, we have seen people do what's called an appraisal gap in their contract, which basically means that if the appraisal comes in under a certain value, you agree to cover that value out of your own pocket. So let's say, for instance, you agreed to buy the house for $290,000 and it came back in at $285,000. Well, if you wrote a $10,000 appraisal gap in your contract, you would be on the hook for paying up to $10,000 of that value if it comes in basically $10,000, in between $10,000 under.
Out of your pocket.
Yeah. So it would just be additional money to closing. So basically in that instance, you have a house that you agreed to buy for $290,000. You agreed to cover a $10,000 appraisal gap and the house is worth $285,000. So you would pay that $5,000 gap out of your own money for the house. Now, this is not always something I would recommend, because as you can, as you can tell, you're buying a house for more money than what it's worth. So, you know, and sometimes if you're really trying to be competitive, or you really need a place to live, or, you know, whatever, if the market dictates that that's, you know, what you have to do to be competitive, you know, that sort of thing, you know, there's different reasons for doing it, but obviously it would be a one-off, I would say, in most situations. It's not something that happens very often, because again, who would want to pay more for something? That'd be like going to the car dealership and they say this car's only worth 30 grand. You're like, but I'm going to pay you 35 for it because I really want it. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things. But, you know, obviously the difference between the car and the house would be that you are banking on the appreciation over the coming years, whereas the car is going to depreciate. So I can understand that argument there. So eventually the value likely will catch back up to what you paid for it. But, you know, so if you have that appraisal gap, obviously you've already agreed that you'll pay in between that amount. So in that case, you know, you'd be on the hook for that $5,000. Now, if that's not agreed upon in the contract, you basically would go back to the seller and renegotiate. Most cases, what happens is the seller comes down on their price, or the agreed upon purchase price comes down to meet where the appraised value's at. Most people obviously know that if a house isn't worth that much, most people are not going to spend that much. So now we've seen situations where they've kind of met halfway. Hey, we'll knock it down a little bit. Let's say that $5,000, the seller says, hey, I'll knock off $2,500, but the other $2,500 has to come from you. You know, and those sort of things. So it really boils down to you, the client in particular, and what you want to do. If you're like, this is a no-go, if they don't come down, I'm not paying, you know, more than this house is worth, then there you go. You're going to walk away from the property if the seller doesn't agree. Some people, they operate differently. You know, some people are willing to pay that money. So it just up to you and what you think is best, you know, for you and your situation.
Can a home buyer order another appraisal after the first appraisal was ordered?
Well, there is something called a reconsideration of value. So what we can do is you can actually fill out a form if you believe that the value should be different. So basically this is something new that, you know, we have had to start implementing. And so you'll basically list out 5 comps. So most likely if you're working with an agent, you'll get with your agent and say, hey, you know, we need to get 5 comps. This isn't worth, or they didn't come back with the value we need. And so they'll get those comps put together. And then we, the lender, will send the form over to the appraiser and have him, you know, take a look at what the data was that was sent over and, you know, see if he'll reconsider the value. Sometimes they'll give it a little bit of a bump. Other times they won't touch it at all. So as for ordering a second appraisal, I can't speak for other companies. I know for our company specifically, you know, that the appraisal has to go through a review, and we have to determine that there was something seriously wrong with the calculations that happened or the comps that were used, or, you know, and that doesn't happen very often. These appraisers are obviously good at their job. They know what they're supposed to do. So just because something didn't come in at value, you don't just get to say, hey, I want to go buy, you know, I want to go get another appraisal and order five until you get the value that you want. That's, you know, that's not how the business works. So I would say, can you order another appraisal? Again, probably just like the appraisal gap, one-off situations where, you know, the circumstances have to make sense for that to happen. You can't just say it doesn't have value, we want a new appraisal. It's not how it works. So
definitely good information, because I feel like, you know, sometimes when homebuyers see that an appraisal comes in low, they think it's an end-all be-all, and there's no really options to move forward. But there is, obviously there's a lot of different things that you can do. When that appraisal value comes in low, again, everything is a negotiation in the real estate contract, everything. So, always options, always avenues to move forward for sure.
Yeah. And just so you guys know, the reason you don't just go by getting another appraisals, I mean, ethically speaking, you know, that would be just basically trying to twist the market to make it what you want ultimately, you know what I'm saying? And So, you know, obviously the housing crash in 08, lenders, you know, everybody was in cahoots back then. So, you know, you say you want this value, you get this value. There's been, you know, us as loan officers, we're really not even, we have an entire appraisal department at our company that handles all the appraisal stuff. You know, we don't order them ourselves. We do not communicate with the appraisers, those sort of things. You know, that's off limits nowadays. So, you know, what that value is, you know, again, there is a process to where you can put a reconsideration of value, you know, to them, you as the consumer. But, you know, if that doesn't come back, you know, there's, you know, you're not going to argue with them for 3 weeks straight trying to get the value to where you want it. You know, at that point, you just have to accept that it came in less. But I will just add this caveat in there. In this market, very rarely do we see, you know, properties come in under value. It's one in maybe every 15, 20 appraisals that come in lower than, you know, what the purchase price is. So,
and ultimately it, you know, being a free market here in the United States, obviously, but what something is worth is what somebody's willing to pay too. Obviously that's a little bit of a factor in there as well. If a consumer's willing to pay a number, then that usually is a telltale sign of what the asset is worth on the market as well in a free market. So, obviously those guys are licensed in each state and they're professionals. And so they are they know best, obviously. So good information to have to get done on the appraisal side of things.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So Zach, just a couple of things here we want to touch on, before we wrap up. So, one of the biggest things is what happens if repairs come back on each of these reports, or, you know, you get a home inspection report and the home inspection says this, you know, really needs to be taken care of. You know, what are your options, or what are the steps as the person buying the home? You know, what do you do from there if that's what your home inspection says?
Yeah. So touched on it a little bit already. After the inspection period is done, we're going to have what's called a request to remedy period. Basically just a renegotiation period based on what is found on the inspection report. Again, like I mentioned, everything is going to be broken out on that inspection report based on, you know, need and timing of when this is going to be done. So if there are things that are, you know, sudden and need to be fixed, or safety issues that pop up on that inspection report, those are the things that we're going to hone in on and go back to the seller and try to get those taken care of. We're going to try and get an estimated value on what the work would cost if we had that done. And from there, we're going to be able to, you know, negotiate that dollar figure, that dollar amount that we want the sellers to pay for, or want them to credit back at closing. So they can say yes, they can say no. And at that point, if they say no, we can change our offer, or at that point, the contract is going to be dead. So it's, again, a second negotiation period once you get into contract, based on all of those things that pop up. Again, usually with clients, when I go through these inspection reports, I'm really, really focused on the most needed repairs, the things that need to be done that are safety issues, because 90% of the stuff that pops up on the inspection report is going to be just small, minor, you know, $25, $50, $100 repairs that you can genuinely do on a Saturday. When you get your keys to your home, you can finish those things in probably 3 hours all by yourself. So those aren't things that I'm going to be necessarily advocating for you as a buyer to be asking for the seller to fix or credit, just because that's part of being a homeowner, fixing those small things and getting those taken care of. Now, if we have safety issues, yes, we're definitely going to be going to bat and fighting hard to make sure that the seller is taking care of those things before you move in. So really just depends on what pops up on that report. I've had reports pop up with zero safety issues, and I've had reports pop up with, you know, 10 to 12 safety issues. So it can be a challenging 3-day process, just depending on what pops up on that inspection report and how well the property has been taken care of over the last, you know, 10 to 15 years or so.
For sure. Yeah. And one point, obviously, we would want to touch on is, you know, you also want to make sure, you know, how did you offer on the house? If you offered as is and the inspections just for your own personal knowledge, even no matter what comes back on there, you know, obviously Zach will tell you, you know, you agreed to purchase the property as is. So, I mean, that's one thing to keep in mind.
Definitely. And even in that case too, having the inspections done is key. Just so you know, all of those things that need to be done or maybe need to be done, just having that information is key, in your hands, ready to go when you close on that home. So,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then from the appraisal side of things for you guys, so a little bit different there, you know, whatever repairs come back on the appraisal, those have to be taken care of. So, you know, if the appraiser goes out and says this is subject to GFCI outlets near the water sources, a handrail on the basement steps, chipped and peeling paint on, you know, the exterior of the home, you know, those sort of things, those are going to have to be taken care of before closing. So, now in certain circumstances, because we are in Ohio, you know, there are certain things that we can escrow for. Obviously when it's 10 degrees outside, you're not going to be able to paint a house and have it stick. So, you know, we have escrowed costs for, you know, chipped and peeling paint, those sort of things. But, you know, if you got to put GFCI outlets in, those need to be taken care of, you know, those sort of things. So typically whatever comes back on the appraisal is going to need to be taken care of prior to closing. We need that appraisal to come back to be basically for the appraiser to state that it meets, you know, for the government loans, HUD 4000.1. You know, typically you don't see too many conventional properties come back subject to, but obviously we need those to come in as is. So those repairs are going to need to be taken care of prior to closing.
Definitely. Definitely. I think we covered on some good information on the just the differences, because again, I like we mentioned at the beginning, they can kind of go one and the same. Obviously, some home buyers may think that they're the same exact thing, but they are two different things, obviously, and they cover two different bases and cover just additional things that each one doesn't. So,
yeah, yep, absolutely, and they're both important. They both play a specific role in the process. And so, you know, again, just trying to bring that, you know, just that information out there to you guys to know, you know, what to expect when you go into contract. The one thing I didn't touch on, you know, from the cost standpoint, I know you touched on, is that, you know, $400 to $1,000, just depending on your add-ons and those sort of things for a home inspection. You know, at our company and at most companies, really, I guess, depending on the area you live in, you know, most standard appraisals in our area run about $500 to $550 for each appraisal report. So, you know, most lenders are going to collect a specific amount. And if it comes in under that amount for the appraisal report, you know, you'll get a credit back at closing for that amount that you overpaid, or, you know, so on and so forth. So, you know, we collect $550. Most appraisals run anywhere between $500 to $550.
Awesome. I think we had a pretty good episode today, Sam. How about you? You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's good, good information. Hopefully it helps you guys, you know, on what to prepare yourself for, at least cost wise, and understanding what the difference is and why both are important to the process. So, yeah, good information all the way around.
We've been, you know, obviously been releasing content on all of our platforms, Instagram, YouTube, all the podcast platforms. So feel free again, guys, to give us a like, share, subscribe. And again, on any of our episodes, if we are touching on items that maybe don't make all the way sense to you, or not touching on items that you would like us to touch on, feel free to give us a comment, shoot us a message, and we will 100%, you know, touch on those things. Because again, we are here for you guys. Again, our audience is an extension of our clients. We just want to provide the best possible home buying information prior to you guys getting that journey started. So again, like, subscribe, share would all be appreciated. And we appreciate you guys tuning into this episode, and we will be seeing you guys on the next one.
Absolutely. Appreciate the love and support out there from you guys so far on the content and the episodes that we've already released, and excited to get more stuff out to you guys. So appreciate you tuning in. And like Zach said, we'll catch you guys on the next one.